Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 17th of August, recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were quiet and mixed. The European stock markets were also quiet and mostly a bit steadier. The Italian MIB index, so the ones I'm looking at, had the best gain, up 1.27%. The Americas were all, all firmer in here today. I see the NASDAQ Composite's actually down just under 0.5%. Wall Street was strong early in the day. Well, say up, I think probably up over a percentage point. certainly into the early afternoon, and then those gains faded. It turned into some moderate losses, and then it rallied towards the close, or at least with the S&P and the Dow just closing higher, but not the NASDAQ Composite, as I just mentioned. Canada, Mexico, Brazil, they were all a little bit higher, 1.38% for Brazil. In long-dated government bonds, we saw some strength, particularly in UK gilts and its bond prices. The US dollar was pretty well weaker across the boards, not heavily, but the euros pushed up to 144.32, sterling up to 165.5. The Aussie, a little firmer at 105.53. That's pretty much the picture. Soft commodities were mostly stronger. Cotton had a good day. The exceptions, corn was down a little bit, I think cocoa was down a little bit. Sugar was strong. And the metals were all higher except for tin, which was down very slightly. Platinum has had three very good days to the upside. It's at 1845. Gold firm at 1791. Silver also firm, $40.44, and palladium has picked up from the lower side of its range, currently 776. And crude oil, well, we've got Brent. Let me take WTI first. That's at 87.43, so that's higher, and Brent, unfortunately, is up over 110, 110 and 60 cents. That's up almost a dollar and a half. Okay. So what's going on here generally? Well, after the deluge, we've had the technical rally, which I think is mostly short covering and a little bit of bargain hunting. Then that has corrected the very sharply oversold condition, and I think people are looking around and wondering what next here. And index such as the NASDAQ rallied back up underneath its Type 3 top area and then backed off. Now, my feeling is that there are risks to the downside. The minimum expectation of mine would be that we see retests of those recent lows. If stock markets are bottoming out, which would be a bit of a best-case scenario, then we would see them probably ranging along near a bottom, which could be near those August 8 lows. As we saw last year, really in July and August before QE3 came on board and pushed things up. I think the environment's tougher this time. I think the technical damage is worse. I think the overhead supply is more evident. Global GDP growth is slower. Interest rates in the growth economies are higher. The banking situation in Europe has people considerably more on edge than it did at this time last year. U.S. growth is weaker. European growth is certainly weaker, and that now includes Germany. It could go on and on. And we are waiting for QE3 in whatever guise it appears, but governments are crisis oriented. Bernanke would be reluctant to do it because it would really seal the criticism that people have put forward that QE2 really didn't do anything. And then you've got loose cannon politicians in the U.S. saying that what Bernanke was doing is treasonous, or words to that effect. So it's not easy, would not be easy for the Fed to do that, although I think that's probably what Bernanke would probably wish to do. Although, as I have said before in these audios, that the Fed are probably nervously twiddling their thumbs, the Fed governors, and not least Ben Bernanke, and hoping that the economy picks up steam. Well, maybe it will. And I'm interested to see that apparently a majority of people do not expect it to slide into a double-dip recession. Although some of the heavyweight commentators think that's really quite a high risk, I don't doubt that there's a majority of people who certainly hope that the U.S. economy does not slide back into a recession. That would include me. But I don't like what I see. So I'm feeling really quite cautious in here now. I am aware that valuations are improving, although perhaps not quite so much as the raw numbers show, because were we to see that double dip recession, you can be certain that corporate profits, and I think estimates are still too high, I mean, those corporate profits would be coming down somewhat, but another leg to the downside would certainly make a number of attractive valuations even more attractive. And you know, it's I had an email today and someone said, well, how do you know when you're at a market bottom or at a really good market buying opportunity? Well, it's not so difficult a question if we're talking about an overall upward trend and you get a normal, as in not too dramatic, mean reversion to a rising 200-day moving average and then see a upper dynamic bounce off that moving average. That's your buying opportunity. It's easier to pick them out in upward trends. When you get a big correction, which this is at least, let alone a bear market, and I think this is I've described it as what I've hoped and felt would be a short, sharp bear market, but doesn't quite qualify as that on Wall Street terms, I suppose. But it feels like it, and it looks like it in a number of respects. Defining the buying opportunity in advance, or identifying it in advance, so the parameters of it are not so easy. It's a little bit like describing pornography, although we all know what it is when we see it. So I'm waiting here rather cautiously, watching these markets. I know that when I do put more money into the markets, that I'm going to be going for high yielders, and they will be Fuller Money themed companies. And resources may well play a part, but they'll certainly be multinational companies leveraged to the Asian-led growth story. Okay, what else to mention here? Government bond prices, these are still providing evidence that, well, this shows that, I mean, I think anybody buying the bonds at these levels with a head on their shoulders, and I assume they do, will be buying them on the basis of growth concerns rather than supply concerns. The supply is absolutely horrendous for these things. I think they're extremely risky, but in markets, you know, something that is becoming very risky can look very safe to those who are riding the trend until all of a sudden it all goes pear-shaped. That hasn't happened yet with these government bond prices. In terms of commodities, we've got too much strength overall for the health of the inflation-fighting central banks, and also for the health of the consumer. So commodity price inflation, and this is going to be the main problem really for quite some time, and we only see a bit of respite from that when we get a downturn in the business cycle. But it's got to be a savage downturn in the business cycle to really hammer commodity prices down, as we saw in 2008. And then they are among the first to snap back, and that's because it's a secular bull market. And I think that really the economic situation argues, in my opinion, I'm talking fundamentals now, argues for lower industrial commodity prices. But then supply for crude oil, for instance, is exceptionally tight. So, and that's not least because of the Libyan situation. So it may not come down enough. And any other disruptions to supply in any form really could cause it to retest the highs or more. So it's still a tricky environment overall. And food prices, this grain and bean complex is still quite strong. And therefore, I mean, commodities, again, I've so often described them, Owen and I have, as the best opportunity, particularly when they were coming off lower levels. That best opportunity, one of the best opportunities, always destined to become a next big problem, and that's what we saw earlier this year. And the precious metal complex is absolutely fascinating. Gold is certainly overextended in U.S. dollars, but of course a lot of you aren't particularly bothered by what the U.S. dollar price is doing. Most of the people who trade futures, as I do, are concerned about that. Those who own gold shares can be a little bit more relaxed about that point. And for instance, if you're a Swiss franc investor or a Swiss franc holder, Swiss national, or have a big bank account in Switzerland, the gold price hadn't been doing much in Swiss francs until the Swiss national government, the Swiss National Bank, decided that this was potentially ruinous for the export earnings of Swiss companies, and then have consequently stepped in an effort to weaken their currency, and I think they'll certainly continue to do that. Now, as a consequence, we've seen gold in Swiss franc terms go from being very flat to getting a terrific upward dynamic, and it looks like it's completing a very big consolidation. So it depends on what currency you're looking at, and I did review gold in several currencies. Well, I also reviewed it in U.S. dollars, but in several other currencies as well here today. I haven't posted that yet, but I'll do that immediately after this audio. I also talked about it on an inflation-adjusted basis, and it's still well below that 1980 peak on a CPI inflation-adjusted basis. And it is inconceivable to me that gold won't take out that 1980 high on an inflation-adjusted basis, because there are many, many more people who can buy gold today than was the case back then, and we've had a lot more GDP growth, so these are wealthier people generally, particularly in the Asian regions of the world, and gold is very popular in China and India, as you know. And the money printing has been horrendous, so that really does underpin gold's role as a hard currency, or hard money, I should say. Now, the other precious metals, again, silver continues to look as if it's in a support building phase. So does platinum. It's a very big trading range. I think it would take a fairly savage bear market rather than just a short, sharp bear market. And if it's a short, sharp bear market, it's mostly over. But it would take a savage bear market to really drive gold and, especially the industrial metals, I think it would take a savage bear market to really drive the precious metals that have major industrial uses such as platinum and palladium lower, and silver. And that would also spill over into the gold market, I believe, as we saw in 2008. But I think that's very much an outside chance, and hope it remains very much an outside chance. The odds are we get some further consolidation in gold and possibly the others, but that prices are higher at the end of the year. They could be explosively higher for some of those big trading range precious metals, platinum, palladium, silver. And I think they'll be higher at the end of the first quarter than they are at the end of the year. But we will see. And on that note, all the best to all of you.